You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Super Crosstalk apparently is not really happening as Super Crosstalk today. The big CY, Clinton Yates, is in for Sedano.
What's up?
And Clinton, Mason and Ireland show in its entirety just up and left us.
This is what the scene is like. You know how, and I use this analogy a lot because, well, I'm very fond of my days back in middle school, but you know how when, like, one kid was having a sleepover and, like, he had invited enough kids that the kids brought their sleepover stuff to school that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, their mom shows up and it's like, actually, not only are all these kids coming to our sleepover, but we're taking them to some thing where they're going to leave school early. And everybody just sits there like, well, dang, I wish I'd gotten invited to that if for no other reason than I could leave school early. That was kind of the vibe. As soon as I walked in, Greg was like, by the way, we're getting out of here because we're going to go see Top Gun as a show together immediately.
I love how they actually told you, though, because all I got was, are you ready to dial in, which I was. And then it was, do you want to play Game of Games, which I did. Until, Linz, I got to say, I loved your game for Game of Games. But we could have repurposed it and called it something else, and we could have done it with us. We didn't have to do it with them.
But we don't really do games. Like, they do games every day. And as somebody who, you know, I used to work on that show, it's extremely difficult to come up with fresh, new, whatever games every single day somebody's doing a game.
So this was the heat was out. It had to see the streets. That's,
yeah.
Once you wrote it, it was
good.
I thought of it when I was picking some paint colors, and then I was just like, Greg, I texted him. I was like, this is a good idea for a game. And he didn't quite get it. And then he's like, well, why don't you just do it? And I was like, okay, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, right. Wait, if I have to not do it and you do it, that'd be good. Can you go back to the beginning of that, though? Because I thought it was red, orange, yellow, green, brown, indigo, violet. But you had other colors towards the end. And Clinton,
well,
you seem to be very well versed in all of this.
Instead of indigo, I said blue.
Right.
Because that's just like the general term for it. Indigo is another name. And the reason I didn't say that was because that was one of the clues for blue on the easy tier.
Mm-hmm. I also think indigo on a color scheme, like on a color theory standpoint for the average person, is a little too deep. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, that's second level that most people forget. If they forget a color on the Roy G. Biv scale, it's going to be indigo. But to your question, Scott, yeah, I was a relatively serious art student in high school, meaning that, like, it was one of the, we had like majors at my high school, and it was one of my majors. And so every day I was in my art class doing various things from theory to different stuff. So yeah, I was very familiar with that. That's why it was funny when I was like, no, I actually got to eat. And then I was like, oh, by the way, this game is directly in your wheelhouse. But Mason handled it, so that was fun.
Hmm. I like the game, Linz.
I have a couple of them I didn't
let's,
use.
Let's do yeah. this. Let's. We don't have to play a game. Let's just do this. Read some of your favorite color names, because I'm a big fan of that. Like, half of the fun when I see new shoes that come out, like, you know, these sneakerheads out here, Scott, it's not just what they look like. It's the name of the color, you know, because they'll always give it some goofy name, you know, I don't know, peanut butter jungle or something crazy like that. And like, color names make me laugh, you know?
There are some really funny ones. And I was also looking at the Crayola crayons, because the tiebreaker question was going to be that, like, Crayola has made 330 true color crayons, but how many names have they come up with?
Oh,
and they've had 734 different crayon names.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I love that. That's how I know that cornflower is blue.
Yeah, same with me. Yeah. And that's like, I remember I loved macaroni and cheese the color, because I loved macaroni and cheese, so I used that and cornflower.
Scott, I used to just love Crayolas. Remember those big boxes of Crayolas where
yeah.
you pop them
yeah.
up and they had the two different levels, and then they had the sharpener on the side of the box?
Yeah. That's exactly the beginning of this journey in my world. That's when I really started. I was the idiot that read the colors on the side of the deck on crayons as much as I drew with the actual crayons themselves.
Same.
You know,
very I love cool. the jumbo crayons with the little sharpener on
those
the
are
back.
Fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
The jumbo crayons were better, actually, because the other crayons, the little skinny ones, it was like the difference between a cigar and a cigarette. The little cigarette crayons, those things broke in half all the damn time.
No,
it did. You had to have some relatively decent dexterity in order to be able to use those. And I remember when I was a kid, this is part of the reason how I knew I was relatively good at drawing and getting better at art, was that our art teacher in after school class, she had like the special ones that the kids who could actually draw and could actually handle the crayons without destroying her 128 color set, we could use those. I was one of the kids that got to use those.
The expensive ones?
Yes, the ones that required a little bit of actual skills with your hands and not just, let me mash these things into the construction paper. Yeah.
That was me. That was me. They would say, they would have like a circle, and they would say, you know, color within the circle, and I would color outside the circle and then cut the circle and not worry about all the stuff that had been drawn on the outside, you know, all the crayon on the outside. Terrible artist.
I remember when my favorite thing to do for coloring books, by the way, this is a fascinating discussion right now, but I was the person that would outline the outline with like the bold part, and then you do the different shadings and stuff.
Yep.
You know, that I was pretty diligent about that when I was a kid. I loved it.
Makes it look better.
Coloring books now are, in fact, quite popular for adults. It's a very therapeutic process.
Yes.
My sister got me a coloring book and a box of colored pencils during the pandemic.
Me too.
It was tremendous. Yeah. I loved it.
It's awesome.
You should try it out sometime, Scott. It really eases your nerves. It's like a therapeutic thing.
I've never even heard of the adult coloring book, but perhaps that
it's
should be something.
It's not what you think.
No, it's not. Right.
It's like, you know.
Adult content that you color?
It's more intricate patterns and stuff that you have to stay in the lines.
Yes.
It's a little bit harder to do that than it is, you know, it's not like adult.
I appreciate that delineation. Yes.
That might stress Cap out more.
Well, I didn't know. I mean, you said adult, you know, coloring books. I of course, thought it was adult version.
I know that's where your mind was going, so I said that.
Right. Clinton, I was very surprised to hear, and I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised because I have a gentleman who is a friend of mine who has the exact same opinion that you have. When I say, yo, man, you want to go see Top Gun 2, Maverick, you know? And he's like, no, man, I didn't see Top Gun 1. I'm like, what? You didn't see Top Gun 1? Are you kidding me? And his answer to me is, how many black people are in that
movie?
Thank you. I'm like, I think there's one. And he's like, well, that's why I don't see it.
Well, I mean, here's how I'll explain this very simply. I think a lot of people, when I say stuff like this, they think that it means that, like, I'm so this or I'm so that or I'm trying to be like, no, man. Some places, hate to tell you guys this, but black folks do things with other black folks, and they don't worry about what other folks are doing. And as a result, I told you this before. I grew up with two black parents on the East Coast. Most of the stuff that was in the cultural zeitgeist are probably things that might have made it to the generally more large pop culture realm. But there's a lot of things that I've just missed. Not because I was avoiding them or my parents were like, you're not going to do that. Or I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, I don't see any of us, so I'm not going. It just never made the rotation of things that I cared about. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And this follows that lead. This is when I'll never forget I had this discussion with the great Bob Lee from Outside the Lines. I told him Caddyshack, what's that movie called? Animal House and the hockey one. I was like, these movies aren't funny to me. I missed the time in which I was going to understand the jokes simply because of who I am. Top Gun was probably more of a timing thing. I did play the Top Gun video game on Nintendo. That joint was impossible to land the daggone plane at the end of the aircraft carrier, one of the hardest things I remember ever having to do as a child. But culturally, it didn't mean much to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I know what it is when I see it. I just haven't seen that movie. One of those deals.
It's funny that you say that, though, because for me, I think we're talking about 1986.
What were we doing in 1986? How was the Cap moving around the cabin in terms of America?
I'm a sophomore in high school.
Oh, man.
Probably just got my driver's license. Oh. Was rolling around in my 1976 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme, by the way.
Cock of the walk right there.
Oh, you know it. And here's the thing. When Top Gun comes out, me and all my high school football buddies, we now think we're all about to become fighter pilots. Okay, so we all think that we're like the next, you know, Maverick and Goose and you know, Iceman and everything else. And so that movie was such a part of my life from, call it, 1986 through, I don't know, 90, 92, when I'm kind of done with college. And it's just that movie, it's hard to believe that it's like 35 years later that they're doing the next version of it.
Let me ask you this, though. So there's a lot of movies that, even if they're not good movies, even if they're not, I don't want to say necessarily like super popular in the theater, they definitely shift the zeitgeist, to use Mason's word, of cool in their era. I feel like that's where Top Gun came into play. It's like, whatever this movie is, that's fine, but like, everybody's got some version of what they think Top Gun connected to their life at. And for you, I think it was just what? The basic motivation of, these dudes are cool, I like to watch them and feel cool too?
I think that there's the one scene, and I know you didn't see the movie. Lindsay, I'm going to assume you've seen the movie, right?
Yeah, I saw it when I was in high school, and my high school boyfriend, his sister was obsessed with that movie. She was a little bit older, and she was like, you guys have to watch this. It's the greatest love story ever, which, you know, that's why she watched it. And, like, I mean, we probably watched it, like, six times over the course of a weekend when we went to go visit his sister in Georgia.
So, all right, Laura, have you seen the original Top Gun?
Like, once or twice.
Okay, so you know the scene where they're in the bar and Maverick takes the microphone and he sings, you never close your eyes anymore when I don't remember the words.
Working on the number.
Kiss your lips.
Kiss your lips. Dude. And the whole bar goes, doo-doo, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You know, like that whole thing. Like that became Clinton. Like that became every party we were ever at.
Ah,
okay. 87, 88. You know, every guy knew all the words to that song. And if there was something that would break out in a party, everybody would sing that song. Or at a karaoke bar, for that matter.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Sort of like that one song in, is it Old School, where he changes up the words? Or is that in, yeah. Well, anyway, that, like, I totally get that. And that, to be fair, that's also why, like, I'm actually really excited about seeing the second movie. Don't know anybody who's not pumped about it. Not a soul. Every single person I know who cares about Top Gun is 100% in on this sequel, which is something kind of rare this day and age, Scott, for things that are either reboots or sequels or reimagined. Sometimes the harder core old school crowd is like, don't mess with my product. That doesn't seem to be the case right now.
Why do you, or let me rephrase this. Why will you see Top Gun Maverick, but it sounds like you probably won't start with the original Top Gun just to see how it all plays out?
Probably because it will introduce more questions and I ultimately don't care anyway. Top Gun is not like part of my overall, you know, sort of pop culture fan base. I mean, I'm going to learn about it, but like I want to go see it just because I want to see the movie. I can see the previous one at any time. You know what I'm saying? Like this is more so because it's also – I'm really excited about it because one of my best friends in the world was a Navy aviator, and she's really excited about it.
Cool.
So, yeah, there's some personal connectivity there that's got me going to get me in the theater.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that when I first came to Southern California, this is 2001, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to San Diego. And as a kid, seeing Top Gun and knowing that this was Miramar, Top Gun, Maverick, I'm going to have to give you your dream shot. You're going to Top Gun, Miramar. Like, I wanted to go on to that military base and see what was going on. I wanted to see F-18s take off and land. I wanted to work in the simulator. One time, Clinton, I had a chance to fly out from what's called North Island, which is apparently where a lot of this movie was shot, land on the USS Abraham Lincoln, an aircraft carrier, and spend two nights on the aircraft carrier. And this is, oh my gosh, this is, I don't know, 2003-ish, 4-ish.
If I may, how are you doing this? This sounds interesting. What was the setup?
I was really, really involved with a lot of military charities at the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I had this opportunity. So I flew on what's called a COD plane, and we took off from North Island. We landed on the USS Abraham Lincoln, and I was out there with some NFL players. It was Donnie Edwards, who played for the Chargers at the time. He was a linebacker.
Okay.
Gosh, I can't think of everybody's name.
Sure,
Dave
but
Bin.
It was a group experience.
Yeah, so there's all these Charger players, me and my radio partner at the time. We went on, we landed on this aircraft carrier, and then, I don't know if anybody will remember this, but this is like, I want to say, probably again, like 2004-ish. At the time, President George W. Bush landed on an F-18 on the same plane or same boat. Yeah.
Wow.
And like all the and then he had this speech, mission accomplished. Of course, we were.
Oh, you were there
15
for that?
Years away from mission accomplished. Oh, yeah, dude. I was on the USS Abraham Lincoln for that.
Wow.
I know. Crazy. And so Top Gun, this is my point. Top Gun was the movie about naval aviators that has me on a lifelong obsession about naval aviators.
My friend's dad was also a Navy pilot. So, yeah, this is one of those things where I feel like, as much as anything, I feel like I need to see it for her just to sort of, you know, make sure that I'm keeping abreast of what her interests are.
Well, if you ever want to have a really good time, I've got these friends that are now flight instructors at Top Gun. It's no longer called Top Gun.
Right.
You ever want to waste taxpayer dollars at $5,000 per ride, we can go into the simulator and you'll kind of see how the actual naval aviators, how they work, not when in a plane, but in a simulator. Dude, you think it's hard to land in a video game? You should try and see what it's like when you're actually in the simulator, dude.
I got to say, that sounds really fun. And now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, looking out over LA Live, I'm thinking to myself, why on earth didn't we organize something to go to actual San Diego to watch the opening of this movie? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's the local necessary place, heck, I might get in the car and drive on down there this weekend just to get some of the vibe. I'm sure people are super pumped about this.
I know. It's cool. Listen, I don't know. I've been watching all the marketing tools. I mean, Sean McVay's in a commercial all about Top Gun.
Yeah.
And it's got me like, and I see all the social media buzz. It's like, hey, you got to see it in the theater. Or, hey, we're not streaming this thing. You got to come to the theater. In fact, I think I read that Tom Cruise has been sitting on this movie for 2 years because he didn't want to release it streaming. He wanted everybody to see it in the theater.
I know they wrapped filming before the pandemic happened because I remember when people were talking about it. But I didn't realize that they had finished the whole movie. But I guess so. They're good
yeah.
for them.
Yeah. Good All right,
them.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you are seeing it.
I am going to see it. I'm not sure the circumstances under which I'm going to see it. This is one of those deals where I'd rather see this with somebody who is enthused about it than just me walking in there by myself. So we'll see who that person is.
Okay. Linz, you seeing it?
Yeah, I'll probably go see it this weekend. My friend
really?
And I, we used to be like movie buddies. We would go see like movies almost every weekend. We had the movie pass, not the actual movie pass, but we had the AMC or whatever it is where you paid $10 a month and you could see a bunch of movies. And we have so many saved up from the pandemic that we could probably go see movies for the next 6 months and not have to pay for them.
Wow.
I'll bet you the consigliere Julian is definitely going to go see it.
Oh, Jules definitely wants to see it.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
Laura, any interest?
I got a busy weekend, but I will eventually go see it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I don't see myself seeing it this weekend either.
You'll probably see it like 10 years from now.
True.
No. I see myself definitely going to see it because, again, this is one of my movies from my childhood, from my teenage years.
I'm stunned you're not going to see this weekend, to be honest, based on all what you just said.
I know, but I'm like Laura. I got a whole busy weekend. I got somebody's bat mitzvah I got to go to. Believe it or not, my parents are coming in from Boca del Vista Phase 5.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, I got a high school graduation I'm dealing with.
All right,
I mean,
fair enough. Yeah. The schedule is complete, robust, if you will.
Are you coming into the studio next week?
Perhaps you guys want to do it next week.
That could work. Yeah.
I can come early. I don't got school no more.
That could work. Yeah. Because that way too, Scott, I can know that I can get some early explainers. I talk in the movie theater. I don't talk loudly, but I like to be able to have a bit of a conversation. So if I don't know what's going on, I don't feel like a jerk. So maybe I'll be able to ask you some pointers like, hey, what really happened there? You know,
I could not go with you then because I can't go with a talker.
I was going to say, people tell you they can't go with you because they tell me that?
It's a skill I learned in radio, how to listen to two things at once. You know what I'm saying? So it works out for me. But like when I go to like the Marvel movies, I take my kid brother with me because he's a huge fan and he just explains the whole thing throughout the movie. So it works out.
I would have no issue with that at all because I would be the same way.
Right.
I would have to ask a lot of questions. All right. There's Super Crosstalk. Mason in Ireland, Bergman and crew, Jorge and everybody just picked up and took off so that they could go see Maverick. We're about to start the show. Let's do it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah!
Oh man!
Bam, 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 bam. Yeah, come on!
Beep, 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 beep.
Do da da ding. Come on!
I'm still reeling from that shot Morales took at me.
He did just take a
we
shot
had
at you.
One drink in the middle of no, like nobody was even in the joint.
Oh, so that's why, because no one was there, so there was no one there to recognize
you. I'm just telling you guys, it happens every single day of my life that I leave my house. It's as simple as that. It's okay.
So wait a second. So you're saying that when you went to Top Golf,
are you Clint Yates?
Yes, some form of no, some form. No, I mean you say that like that, but like some form of that, Scott, happens to me every single day in every single city in America, and it's fine. But because that's the extent of it, you know what I'm saying? People are like, I think I know you from somewhere. Or something like that. Or are you that dude? Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay.
It's no big deal.
Honestly, it doesn't happen to me a lot. Like, you're on TV.
Yes.
But I laugh, and I've had people be like, yo, I recognize that laugh.
Recognize that voice. I'm telling you, Scott.
It does happen. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen.
The power of 710.
Yeah, somebody major. Recognized me because I was calling my dog at my apartment complex.
Hey, okay. Chewy.
I was like, come on, Chewy, let's go. And he goes, Chewy? Lindsay? are you Lindsay from Mason in Ireland? Back when I worked on their show, and I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, yeah, I recognize your dog's name. Nice. I was like, okay, it's kind of weird. Yeah,
it happens. Right? But I did not want to cause a scene on this particular day at Topgolf because I was actually on the television at the time. That's what Morales left out about that.
Oh,
I was looking at the screen at my own face. So I was like, let me pull my hat down so we don't get into a whole discussion here.
So you're saying
Greg
that,
and I
like,
are trying to play golf.
Like around the horn was on or something?
Yes, that's what was going on.
Yeah, and then you pulled your hat down so that no one could recognize you.
I always wear my hat relatively low when I'm in sports bars because this is frequently what happens is that my face might be on the television. And I didn't want to disrupt people with that, never mind myself.
Disrupt people?
You know? It's a thing.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think? Like, what are everybody act like Michael Jackson's in the bar?
Oh my God, it's
you'd
Clint
be surprised.
Yates from the radio.
You'd be surprised what happens in a sports bar when a person who is a sports personality walks into a sports bar.
Do they crowd around you, Clinton?
Number one thing that happens is I've got to take a picture for my boyfriend or my dad. That's the number one request at all times. I didn't say they were all dudes either. If it's a dude.
Oh, well, because we know, like, famous people throw themselves at you, right?
Stop it. The number two.
Kesha.
That happened. That's real. The number two thing that happens is guys want to talk.
That was what he was wearing.
Guys want to talk sports, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a problem with that. But sometimes, especially if you're with someone else, if I'm going to take time to talk, you know, if I'm going to have a 20-minute discussion with every single person at a sports bar about what's going on television, you know.
Yeah, you're this like your whole day.
Can't get anything done. You
right.
know what I'm saying? So I love to talk to people who watch the show. It's genuinely one of the most, I don't know, appealing parts of being a part of a show that people like is that people actually come up to tell you that they enjoy it. So
how about when people want to talk to you about something you don't know about? Like, for example, I was walking out of this place and this guy goes, hey, man, what do you think's going to happen with the Kings? You think they got a shot? And I had to stop myself and go, the Kings, what's he talking about? Wait, Sacramento Kings, they're not even in the playoffs.
Hockey.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, okay, Kings. Okay, he's talking about hockey. And he goes, hey, you think the Kings got a shot? And here's me, like, I have no idea. I don't know who they're playing. I haven't seen one game all season long. I haven't seen 1 minute of anything. I couldn't name one player on the team. And here's me, I'm going, hey, look, they got a chance, right? I mean, listen, they were down in this first game. They came back. They won the second game. They got a legitimate shot, right? I mean, they're in the game. Like, they're in the playoffs, so they got a legit shot. Like, so I start talking in a real animated way to make them think that I actually know what I'm talking about when I had no clue what I was talking about.
Wait, was that, or Cap, was that the guy that actually mistook you for somebody else, for a different celebrity? Was it that guy?
A different celebrity? No. Nobody took me for any celebrity.
I thought you said that somebody thought you were someone else. Oh, it was a golfer. Somebody thought that you were a famous golfer, and
somebody
he started asking you about golf. That's
yes,
what
somebody
it was.
Thought I was Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Yes, that is absolutely right.
Really?
That guy was not asking me about the Kings.
I was
a different guy.
Yeah. So here's some pointers on what you do when you get caught in a hockey conversation and you don't watch hockey. I watch a lot of hockey, so I can tell you this with some level of expertise. Number one thing you mention at all times, got to say, oh, yeah, they got to pick it up on the power play. That's the first thing
I'll go with that.
You mention. The second thing is, we'll hope their goalie situation works out. That's the second
thing. That's good. That's
solid.
Getting
that'll
into progress
the
conversation.
Second level of conversation. And the third thing you say is, tough barn to play in, whatever their road opponent is. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
Tough barn.
In the playoffs. They're
going to apply to anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you just throw that out there next time you're looking, next time you're scrambling.
I tried to actually, like, I was really, really tap dancing. And I was like, this guy really expects me to know something, and I don't know anything. And I was like, well, how about that two-line pass that they had the other day? That was pretty crazy.
That's not good.
No.
You don't want that.
No. So, anyway, Clinton Yates is in the house on a Thursday afternoon in for Sedano. Sedano, well, we'll hear him tonight because tonight could be it for the Western Conference Finals. So we will be listening to that broadcast. Clinton, on Tuesday, I drove all the way down to San Diego. It took me 90 minutes to get from L.A. Live to North County, San Diego. 90 minutes. That's all.
That's not bad.
I listened to that whole basketball game on my way back down. In fact, I was listening when George was kind of describing how the roof had opened and the rain was coming
in. So we need to talk about that. And if Sedano's going to join us, I have all the questions about how that went down. Because my understanding is that that happened earlier in this season as well, in the regular season, right, Scott?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't have known that. But I'm listening to the broadcast and George is going, yo, I was here a couple weeks ago when the exact same thing happened, which is why Mark Cuban seems so angry right now. Like, whoa, we had this happen. I thought we plugged all the holes in our ceiling, and now the game has stopped because the rain is coming down and hitting the court.
My buddy sent me a text message with the picture of that guy with that tape that they slap on and the infomercials that they slap on, like, the bottom of boats to make sure that they don't leak. You know what I'm talking
about?
What is that called?
What is that tape?
I can't remember the name
like
of that.
Gorilla tape or something?
Yeah, whatever that is. He sent me that's what they need in Dallas. But, like, I also feel like this is relatively embarrassing for the Mavs. Like, 2022, you got a leaky roof? Like, that's such a basic problem for something that's such a big stage. It seems like a very odd thing to have go wrong if it already had gone wrong once. Got to work on your contractors there, Cubes.
All right, well, hold on a second. I understand that George is dialing in right now.
Right.
There he is. He's on the floor in downtown San Francisco.
You'll never believe what just happened as I was checking his levels and stuff.
Tell me.
I'll let Sedano tell you.
Hello.
Hi, George.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hello.
George, we're on the air. Can you hear us?
Hello.
We'll get it figured
hello.
Out.
We'll get it figured out.
Hang out.
Hello.
But
hello.
Yeah, so.
Hello.
Hello again. Hello. Just called to say hello.
So anyway, I feel like this is a pretty basic infrastructural problem not to be able to know how to fix in an arena where you might possibly be hosting, I don't know, the NBA Finals coming up.
Here's what I was thinking. If I were a fan in the stands in Dallas, as George was describing that on the radio, I'd be like,
hello.
Do we think that the roof is going to hold or should I get out of here?
Right. Like, I mean, that's a really foundationally structural issue that's like, that's odd. I mean, they just hung, what'd they do? They hung a parachute up there to collect the water. That's all they really did. I don't know. That was kind of weird to me on a lot of levels.
Is George going to come on and go, hello?
Hello.
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 I guess he's not.
Guess he's not. Oh, well.
He's going to try, though. Maybe he's going to try. I talked to him earlier today. I'm like, dude, we got to have you check in from the floor. I like when he checks in. He tells us what he's seeing. He
Last
sets
time he
the
was
scene.
Here, yeah, they had the music going in the background. That was really something. But the funny thing was is that they got a little lucky because it actually happened at halftime. You know what I'm saying? And, like, if that happens in the middle of the game, man, that's then you got sabotage, accusations, and all that kind of other stuff. But you listen to the whole game on the radio, basketball game?
I listened to a very large amount of that basketball game on the radio.
I
yes,
like basketball
I
on the radio. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, Clinton, speaking of basketball for a second, have you seen the video that's been going viral today of Jay Will faking Keyshawn out of his shoes and putting Keyshawn on the floor at Cameron Indoor?
So, okay, there's a couple things about this video that I feel that we need to discuss. We can chalk talk this for an hour as far as I'm concerned. Number one, Jay Will on his own home court in college. Is that correct? They're in?
That's right.
They're at Cameron Indoor?
I mean, all the logos on the floor said Duke, so unless they have a basketball
unless
court somewhere else.
Unless they have something else going on, yeah. I don't know. Number two, it didn't appear that this was anything more than them just walking on the court. Like, Keyshawn never appeared to be prepared for whatever that was going to be, which I thought was a little bit unfair to him. It's sort of like when you send people in to throw a first pitch, even though Keyshawn is obviously a world-class athlete. Like, Jay Will's a basketball player. I felt like he needed to get a little, at least a stretch in, maybe run a suicide just to get the blood moving before he tried to, you know, hand down, man down on Jay Will. Because the end result was not good.
No, actually, I'm going to tell you I see it a little differently. I'm pretty disappointed in Keyshawn, to be honest with you.
Yeah, okay. I thought he wasn't ready, but he made a good job of making a comedy moment out of it because he just stayed down. That's what you do in that situation, kids. If you get crossed up, just stay down. It doesn't matter anyway.
I mean, to me, you're a number one overall pick. I granted, you know, he's 50 years old or whatever now, and he ain't in the kind of shape that he was in when he was playing in the NFL. Okay, fine. Who is? But come on, Key, you got to have a little bit of basketball. Like, bend your knees, man. Get your butt back. Get your hands up. Get in a defensive position. Why don't you?
Yeah. You didn't like how they were coaching? So what the deal is that Morales is telling us they did an affiliate event, and so they were at Cameron Indoor. They've got this whole two-on-two bit going with Barton Hahn because Hahn played college basketball, I believe. That's part of the deal. So that whole thing's going on, but yeah, that wasn't that. I was afraid that Key had hurt himself. That was my actual concern in that situation.
No. Yeah. Know? Oh, man. Who's got time for rehab of an Achilles? I certainly don't.
You kidding me?
Forget about it.
This handsome face? No
Come
way.
On. Hey, listen, Sedano will join the show from the floor of the Chase Center in San Francisco right before the game, right before tip-off. Sedano will join us in a matter of moments.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Meanwhile, I was like, wait, is there more? I mean, we got Blueberry Cheesecake Day. We got the Star Wars, whatever it is, down in Anaheim. And we got this.
What,
thank you, Chris.
What exactly, I mean, how, can somebody explain to me how Blueberry Cheesecake gets its own day? Because I don't.
Good question.
Big Cheesecake has got a serious lobby, it turns out. So I have a question to ask you, which is something I'm very interested in your thoughts on, Kaplan.
Please.
So yesterday, my girlfriend, the woman I love, she had to shoot something for her company that was a social media thing. She needed somebody else in it. And so I said, okay, sure, I'll do it. You know, I'll be in it. And
did you for free?
Well, yes, for free. for free. As in no monies were exchanged, Scott. Because we shot it in our apartment building. So I'm asking you, how do you feel about being a character in your family member's social media that's not yours? You know what I'm saying? Like, do your kids do this to you or anything like that? How do you feel about that particular part of life in the family?
All right. I hope this doesn't come off as sounding like really being a jerk, okay? But I don't love it.
Okay.
I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, I flew back down to Florida to see my family. My niece was winning, or at least she was nominated for this award. And I had won the same award in high school. And so my sister was like, you got to come down. You got to come be here for this. And I don't know if she's going to win, but it would be so cool to have you here. So I showed up and I didn't tell my niece I was coming and I surprised her. Well, I didn't know this, but my sister was behind me filming the entire interaction from me walking from the car into the house and seeing and surprising my niece.
Mm.
Then she took it and she posted it on Facebook without ever asking me. All right, hold on. We'll finish the story in a second. Wait, our man Sedano is standing by. He's on the floor up in San Francisco for tonight's, what could be deciding game 5 in the Western Conference Finals. Hi, George.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm watching Andrew Wiggins and Nemanja Bjelica get some shots up. What about you?
Is Andrew Wiggins getting wiggity, wiggity, wiggity whack?
Oh, goodness.
I mean, Jesus, for the love. You couldn't do the low-hanging fruit, like any lower-hanging fruit than that? I mean,
wiggity,
seriously.
Wiggity, wiggity whack.
George, let me ask you this, because this is the thing that is funniest to me. What do you do in the middle of an NBA playoff game when the roof opens up? Like you're playing in some sort of a church league garage.
I've been through some strange stuff, obviously, this season. I was also in Dallas, if you recall, when the backboard or the rim was bent and we had a 43-minute delay. So it wasn't my first rodeo with that, Clinton. the leak was interesting because it was leaking not only on one end, but on two ends. Just the second end happened to be behind the Mavericks bench. So it was affecting just the audience and not the actual court. Meanwhile, when I went to go say what's up to Sean Marion, who was sitting there, I didn't realize he was sitting next to Mark Cuban. I'm like, Sean, have you ever seen anything like this? He's like, nah, man. And then Cuban looks at me and he goes, he says, yeah, I thought I had this fixed when it leaked in March.
Wow.
He's like, clearly it didn't work. And he used a few more choice words. He was not thrilled, obviously.
George, I listened to that whole broadcast on Tuesday night, driving down from L.A. to San Diego. And loved it because all the coverage of what was going on in the roof, I think, might have been more entertaining than the actual game itself.
Yeah, it was pretty funny stuff for sure. It was, look, when I did the one on TV with the rim being bent, we did 43 minutes. That's a lot of tap dancing by me and Mark Jones and Richard Jefferson that day. So let's just say that 15 or 16 minutes was nothing. It's like, and that was like a sprint compared to the marathon I had to go through earlier in the season.
Compared to what you just said, Scott, you said it might have been more interesting than the game itself. George, do you think that there's any – how do you feel about that? These playoffs have had a lot of blowouts, kind of lopsided series where, sure, they might be tied, but these games, they turn into garbage time early. How do you feel about that in terms of how fans of the NBA are looking at this so far in the tournament?
I think that, and I'm going to have to run here after this. I got to talk to Steve Kerr. But the I think Mark Cuban nailed it when he tweeted 2 days ago that the play-in and the calendar has kind of wrecked things a little bit, where now you have the second to last series and the second to most important series, plural, being played every other day. So you're not getting the best basketball. And I think that that has hurt the product personally. That's my personal opinion. I'm agreeing. I agree wholeheartedly with Mark.
Okay.
All right. Go talk to Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
If you decide you want to jump back in, you know.
Wait. Tell him what happened when we were getting on you on the first. Who walked by?
Oh, your boy Kevin Harlan.
He goes, hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Did he give you a hug?
He was walking somewhere, and I had to go somewhere. Speaking of which, I have to go. I'll talk to you later.
They're actually working, Scott. They're not just there to grandstand and show people that they're hanging around each other.
It was funny when I was talking to him down the line. He's like, oh, hey, Kevin, how's it going? I was like, was that Kevin Harlan? I was like, go grab him. He's like, I would, but he was in a hurry. He was walking super fast.
No, we're going to get Kevin Harlan on the show, and it'll be funny. It'll be a great payoff. So, Clinton, go back to where you were, which was
that I acted as a stand-in in the woman I love's latest social media post for something she's doing for work. So, like, cool. No big deal. I didn't mind it. But I'm asking you how you feel about doing that, because I know you have sort of different kind of privacy, you know, just affiliations in terms of what you like. And you started with a story about your sister clandestinely recording you, which does not sound like a good start.
Well, so here's the thing. So I go back down to Florida because my sister says, hey, you got to come down. Your niece, my sister's daughter, is up for this award that you won in high school, and it would be really amazing if you're here. And if she wins it, wow, wouldn't that be great?
Right, what a moment.
So I go down to Florida. I land, I drive, I get to my parents' house, and my sister is videotaping me going from the car into the house and then me surprising my niece. And it was a very nice private moment, right? Well, unbeknownst to me, my sister puts it on Facebook and tags me. And now this is going back a few years ago, all my San Diego-based radio listeners were like, oh, this is so great, this is so awesome. And then, of course, you know, it's social media, so people have some nasty things to say as well. And I said to my sister, I go, don't you think you should at least tell me before you post something like this, or even ask me before you post something like this? Am I out of line here? What do you guys think? Should
not
she have
at
asked?
All. The permission thing is not only just the decency thing, it's half the fun. Because if you'd known she was going to do something, you might have done something even bigger. You know
right.
what I mean? Or you might have
right.
given it a little bit of the, you know, the magician point or whatever. Like, for what we did yesterday, J-Girl and I loved it. I've told a lot of people this. Lindsay, when I was in high school, my number one goal was to try to be a dude in an R&B video who doesn't have to talk, but the girls all like him. That was my, like,
kind of like how P. Diddy is in, like, the Hypnotized video.
That was, like, no, sort of like, okay, think about the video where the guy's driving Mariah Carey around on the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Was it Honey?
That was, I can't remember what the song
it was.
That was my goal in life, short-term goal
in
life.
He was a good-looking man, too, in that video.
See, everybody notices the dude in the
R&B video. I remember his
videos.
Face,
exactly. That's what I wanted to do. I got to do that somewhat in my, you know, life, but Abercrombie I'm talking about, but it wasn't that big. My point is, I don't mind being a stand-in if I'm just there to look around, but clandestinely recording people, I'm with you, Scott. Not cool.
Yeah. And here's what happens is now it pops up on my Facebook all the time. Hey, we've got a memory for you from 6 years ago. I'm like, I live a lot of life on social media.
Sure.
I'll put my kids on social media. I'll put my girlfriend on social media, you know, but sometimes there are moments that are private that it's great to have video, but do you have to put it out all over Facebook?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Wait, do you not like getting the memories?
No, I love getting the memories.
Okay,
I do.
The memories at this point are almost the best part of Facebook.
Yeah,
separate
that's the
matter.
Only reason I like Facebook anymore is because of it. You know, it's weird. The other day, I had a memory pop up that my dog Sam passed away 2 years ago on Sunday. And you want to know it's weird that I never knew until then? Chewy was born the next day. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Eerie.
That's like some celestial, cosmic, weird coincidence, I think.
Oh,
is that the name of one of your colors, Celestial?
Yeah.
I thought it was like a tea that we were about to hear about, some sort of celestial seasonings
yeah,
or something.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God. But that's, yeah.
That isn't that weird? Yes. It's creepy.
Pretty weird. Yeah.
I like the memories popping up on Facebook. I just don't like that memory popping up on Facebook because I felt like that was a private moment.
It was a violation.
Yes. A little bit of a personal violation. That's exactly right.
I hear that.
That's at least how I felt about it anyway. Clinton Yates is in today for Sedano. Sedano made a 30-second appearance, and he had to go talk to Steve Kerr, and he made sure he told us all that he was going to talk to Steve Kerr. Not like, hey, guys, I got to go run and work. No, no, no. Me, George Sedano, I am going to talk to Steve Kerr, just so you guys know.
You heard me laugh when he said that. I was like, right. Of course he has to go talk to Steve Kerr. Like, that's great. That is great.
All right, coming up, let me ask Clinton this, and I'll ask it to everybody else for that matter. Are you ready for the next pro sports team to move into L.A.? I'm not talking some little minor league team, okay? I'm talking about big-time franchise relocation moving into L.A. Are you ready for another team coming to the L.A. sports scene? Who's moving to L.A.? Let's talk about that. Coming right back. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's true. I admit it. I didn't know who she was. Then we played the music, and then I was like, oh, yeah, I know that song. But to beat out Jennifer Aniston on the hottest women over 50 years old list, I mean, that's just, I can't have that.
That's a problem.
For me, it is.
See, I see.
Cap.
Yo.
Do you know that Briones calls my boyfriend Lenny?
He calls your boyfriend Lenny?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he calling that?
Because he says that he reminds him of Lenny Kravitz. Because nobody knows my boyfriend's actual name. They know him as Tebow, and then, I mean, Briones does, right? But he's like, no, 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 that's not his name. His name is Lenny.
So like, when you say your boyfriend looks like Lenny Kravitz, I mean, are we talking like he shows up everywhere, he's got his hair all beautiful and looking
just
thick and
voluminous? Well, I'm not going to say, because then you will figure out, because sometimes he pops on the live, so you will figure out who he is. But he is extra. My boyfriend is extra.
He's extra?
Yes.
See what she's doing? She's doing what Sedano does. She's leaving, what does he call them, morsels?
Little morsels, yeah. when your boyfriend shows up at places, does he wear like a jacket with no shirt under it and he's got a six-pack?
No. He's like, I haven't worked out. He was going to do a roll for something and he turned it down because he's like, yeah, I don't have a six-pack right now. Okay. He's like, I can't do that.
Does he wear sunglasses in bars at night?
He has done that. He wears girls.
He does?
He has a girl. He's big on his girls.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool.
He has really a very, cool. I was showing Lindsay like what I'm wearing to the Mandy's, mm-hmm. and if he decides, or if we decide that he's going to go, he's wearing something very loud.
Well,
so,
hold on here.
Question.
Yeah.
So, Laura and I are talking about what we're going to wear, and is it okay if I disclose the color that you're going to wear, Laura?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, because so I bought a red dress and a black dress, because I don't want to be like, you know, I don't know what everyone else is wearing. I don't want to be too loud, but I don't want to be too plain. So the Laura's also wearing red. So is it a bad idea then if I wear red?
No, ladies in red.
Most importantly, though, Laura and I are presenting together, and we were going to coordinate.
You got to coordinate.
And yeah, but you can't trust you to coordinate anything, because when me and you were supposed to coordinate with gold and purple outfits, you just showed up in the other thing. So.
Well, that was a different issue.
I'm just saying, you got to be aware.
That was a different issue. That was a totally different situation.
Thank you.
I was compromising myself for the purposes of fashion and the bit. In this case, I'm not. So, yeah. Anyway, are you going to coordinate with your boy, or are you going to coordinate with me?
No, with you.
Okay. All right, because it sounded like for a second there.
No. My guess is my bestie right now, right? If he decides, he's like, well, I don't want to show you up. I'm like, look.
He doesn't want to show you up. What does that mean?
Because he's extra. Like, yo, for the graduation thing, not my actual ceremony, but the thing that he went to, it was seriously super casual. I was in jeans and like some cute booties and stuff, you know, and like a blazer. And he's like, what's the thing? And I'm like, just go, whatever. And if I were to show you guys what he went in, it was extra. His jeans were kind of sparkly. And I'm like, really? You're out showing everybody here.
Wow.
He can't dress down?
He can. He doesn't like to.
Oh, okay. One of those deals. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
I'll keep that in mind when I meet him. Yeah, yeah,
you're giving out ammo. You know what I'm saying? We'll see if he can pass the test into the community, you know?
I'm super impressed with everybody, though, already working on their outfits, because I keep getting, what are you wearing? Have you figured it out yet? And I keep saying, I'm a classic procrastinator, right? And so I said, I'm not even starting to think about it until we turn from May to June. But I think that's like Tuesday or Wednesday of this upcoming week.
I was going to say, that's around the corner, so you're going to have to get on it.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I do have one 710 listener in Orange County who is a fashion designer who has been communicating with me on direct message on Instagram, and he says, all I got to do is come to Orange County, and he's got me all hooked up.
So why don't you do that?
Oh, I'm planning on it.
Okay.
There you go, then.
Well, are you going to match with your date? Because I feel like you should match with your date, right?
I don't think I'm going to be matching with my date. I think I'm going to just be like Laura's boyfriend. I'm going to stand out.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I don't know if you the red
carpet's going to be fun.
Is
I know that
like
much.
A dress to impress situation, or because I was under the impression like I don't want to be too much and be all like, whoa, why is she dressed so fancy?
How are you under that impression? I was told that if I didn't wear a tuxedo, I couldn't go, which I'm obviously going to break.
Well, I guess when I heard everyone's wearing pantsuits and because no one wanted to wear a dress, I was like, well, I don't want to be the only one wearing a dress and be like too fancy. You know,
you don't want to knock them dead like that. You can't let them do that. I mean, pantsuits.
I mean,
are not...
I can, but I just feel like they're like I don't know. Pantsuits can be very dressy. Yes, they are dressy.
Like
I saw both Laura's and Amanda's because they're going to wear pantsuits.
They're also in. You know what I mean? So
they're very
that.
Fashionable. But
right.
I'm too short to wear a pantsuit. I think.
Oh, so
that's
me too.
That's
but...
what this is about. You don't want to.
I don't know. I'm going to be like, oh well, I'm also wearing a pantsuit. So you know what I mean? It's a weird situation.
The thing is, I knew I was. Gonna wear, you know
dress.
What I mean? Like I knew I was gonna wear a pantsuit because I everybody knows that's why I didn't do the romping thing.
Yeah.
Like I don't like my legs, and I couldn't find a long dress that I was like, ooh, I'm kind of digging it. So I remember talking to Amanda. I'm like, how would you feel? Because like Clint was told, you gotta go fancy, you gotta go over the top. So I talked to Amanda. I was like, hey, what do you think about this? She's like, oh, I love it. And then that's how she ended up with her pantsuit situation, too. So it's not a bad thing. Like,
yeah. Also, Lindsay,
I didn't say it was a bad thing. I think your pantsuits are both very pretty. I just don't want to... I don't want to look like I'm trying to be all extra.
I don't think it's going to come across
that
way.
Not
not just because of the people at 710, because the other listeners there. I guarantee you there are going to be listeners there dressed in all sorts of wacky stuff.
Everybody's
you know
coming.
Saying?
Bringing,
and I don't
everybody's
think you're
bringing gonna, their A game.
I don't think it's going to stand out in the way that you're worried about, although I do think it's going to be fun to see what everybody wears. You know what I'm saying? That's why, of course, I'll be hosting the pre-show on the red carpet. The consigliere will be there as well, adding some additional analysis to the situation. So this should be fun. Don't worry about it. Is what
I'm
saying.
Crash that.
We're having fun. Oh, everybody will be there.
Yeah. I mean, listen,
everybody will be there. Yes.
And Clinton, let me explain something to you. You know, tickets to the Mandy Awards are now, and I'm not exaggerating in one bit here, it is the toughest ticket to get in the city of Los Angeles. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I do.
The toughest ticket to get. So here's the thing.
You're not joking.
The Mandys, you either won them, you bought them, or you're going to win them. The only way to win them now is to make sure you download the ESPN LA mobile app, which is awesome. I told you a million times. I feel like I'm cheating on my terrestrial radio. I only listen to the app. And now, if you go into the app and you click on the contest button, you have a chance to win. Now, you know, Clinton, I promised a bunch of listeners tickets to this event.
You're going to let them down.
Did you?
I did. I mean, I not only did I promise them, I promised them on the air.
Oh, the table thing? I remember this.
So I have found a way, just to let everybody know, for those of you that I promised tickets to, and it's only four of you, but I promised four tickets to listeners. I have infiltrated. I have gone behind enemy lines, if you will,
uh-oh.
Clinton Yates.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
It means that I have acquired the four tickets that I promised. I was not going to let these four listeners down.
Oh.
So he paid money on the black market for these tickets, I think. That's what he's saying.
Gotcha.
I don't want to say how.
He's not going to say it, but that's what he's saying.
I'm just going to say that the tickets have been acquired.
Some kind of trade with Sunday Swagger or some Mother's Day brunches,
wow.
You know, something like that.
We're naming names now here. That's what we're doing?
The tickets have been accumulated by me. And if I promise you, and it's only four of you, and by the way, I know who you four people are. Manuel from Gardena, you and me, buddy. You are coming with me.
So you see what I'm saying? By the way, you've triggered my mind on a topic, and I didn't mean that negatively. I just meant something came to mind as a result of that. You were complaining the other day that you're not the backup host of the show, but you got 9,000 other things going on just amidst the actual programming. You're not going to have time to do anything but glad hand. You better get this fashion situation under control quickly, Cap,
because
everything else is going to suddenly balloon in size, and it's going to start steamrolling, and the next thing you know, you're going to be all over the place
on
show
day. You're right. I have got to deal with my outfit.
I have faith in you. I have faith in you, Cap. And
thanks, man.
Really quickly, I do want to give a shout out to Frank, from formerly known from Fullerton, now from the LBC, who gave up one of his tickets to Alan Sliwa's Murphy Bed on the my Instagram Live yesterday.
Wow. Look
oh, that's
that. Cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Inter-show
Alan Sliwa's Murphy Bed has to be there.
He
that guy's awesome
there.
On Twitter. Yeah, love that guy.
He's an A-lister.
How do we feel about also the always fun part of certain things, which is when anonymous people's identities are revealed?
Yo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be very interesting to see. I'm going to try to play a game where, and if you're listening, Alan Sliwa's Murphy Bed, I know this is going to be tricky to do. Don't tell anybody who you are.
Oh, I already know.
Well, we kind of know because he also called, too.
Okay, well, I don't want to know. So I want to be able to figure out on my own who this person is. Please do not ruin it for me.
I was mind blown because I'm on my live yesterday.
No, don't even start it.
Wait.
Because you're going to accidentally tip me off to something I don't want to know.
I swear I'm not. But I was like, this person was interacting, whatever. And he was like, hey, so-and-so is offering a ticket on the community. And I was like, yo, I know who that is. He's good people. He's not going to hustle you. And then says, hey, yeah, he actually gave it to me. He didn't even charge me for the ticket. That's why I said, shout out to Frank. And goes, Alan Sliwa Murphy Bed out. And I'm like, whoa.
Okay, so there was a reveal that already happened.
So you found out who it is.
I don't want to know. So if you're out there listening, don't come up to me at the Mandy's and say, oh, there goes Alan Sleep with Murphy Bed. I don't want that.
I won't do that.
I want to be able to figure it out on my own using my powerful skills of deduction.
I love it. All right, listen, I'm going to tell everybody one more time. There are no more tickets to the Mandy's. The four of you that I promised tickets to, Manuel, Zap, the Bensons, I got you guys all covered. Everybody else, there's nothing I can do. And I can't be communicating that night, like, come to the door. I'm at the entrance. I don't have tickets. Talk me in. I can't do it. I cannot do it, Clinton Yates.
That's my move normally. Hi, yeah. I'm Television's Clinton Yates.
You're darn right. Hey, listen, we will get to, and I didn't get to it yet, but there is another pro sports team that now wants to move into L.A. Who wants to relocate, and do we need another team? We'll get to that story on the way. Plus, Laura's got what you need to know. This is Sedano and Cap on 710 ESPN.